With that, let's pray before we get into the word this morning. Father God, you are good. And your mercy endures forever. And Lord, you do not forsake us. You do not leave us. You are here. And Lord, some of us need you desperately today. Holy Spirit, come and touch those hearts, the minds. Lord, transform lives of people that are struggling. They feel like hope is lost in the dark. Bring the light of the Lord into their lives today. Be with us as we study. May we worship you as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us, if we are honest, at times find ourselves in surprisingly difficult and hurtful situations. And what I mean by being honest about it is, see, we lie all the time, don't we? People ask us how we are, and we say, oh, I'm fine, and your world is falling apart. It's a social parameter in our culture that when somebody asks you how you are, you answer with, I'm good, or I'm fine, or, and it's not true. You're not good, you're not fine. You are surprised at how awful things really are. And then you ask everybody else in your life, how are you? And they're all saying, I'm fine, I'm good. So you think you're the only one. We have a tendency to think we're the only ones broken. We're the only ones that are hurting. And that's not true. See, what happens, though, when we're going through those things is we begin to struggle. And we struggle spiritually and emotionally. We struggle in these ways. And this is why we struggle. We struggle because we get our eyes off of what is most important. And by the way, I'm going to tell you, the most important thing to keep your eyes on is Jesus. And so we get our eyes off of Jesus, and we begin to look at the storm that rages around us. But you know, the storm around us is not the scariest storm. You know which storm is the scariest storm? That's the storm that rages within us. That's the storm that rages within the heart, within the mind. Those are the storms that we have to be so very, very cautious of and realize that they're really powerful in being able to derail our ability to keep our eyes upon Jesus if we take our eyes off of him and put them on those storms. So what do we have to do? What do we do to make sure we don't lose our place, lose our way? I want to encourage you in this way. We need to be men and women that are willing to lean into Jesus as he is in the storm with us. And we're going to talk more about that, but we need to be able to walk out to the arms of Jesus in the midst of our storm. And so today I actually have a goal. I want you to consider this as we go forward. I want you, when you leave here today, I would like all of us to know how to apply this teaching to our lives. In other words, what do we do when we are in a storm? That's number one. The second thing is I would like each of us to leave here today being able to go and share with someone else the truth that we're going to learn today because they're in a storm. And they're so deep into their storm, they're not here. Because they have chosen to isolate themselves, thinking that they're the only one going through the storm. And we want to be able to go and minister to others as well as be ministered to ourselves. So we are now in Mark chapter 6. As we continue our narrative, we're going to go through verse 56, or at least that's the plan. The word of God says a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So we will see. And the message is entitled, Fighting Against the Wind. So here in the narrative of Mark, chapter 6, starting in verse 45, it starts with this word, immediately. Well, immediately is the snapshot that we see over and over in the Gospel of Mark as it's just one picture to the next picture of what's happening. So immediately, this is directly after the feeding of the 5,000. And by the way, it was over 5,000. It was just 5,000 men. There were women and children. And so it was over 5,000, and the disciples had gathered up 12 baskets leftovers of loaves and fish from this event. And it says, immediately he, this is Jesus, made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. Now, I want you to note that Jesus commanded them to get into the boat. Are you with me? Jesus told them to get into the boat. They are doing what Jesus told them to do. And then it says in verse 46, and when he had sent them away, that's the multitude, not the disciples, he departed to a mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret. They're in northern Galilee, and they're in the middle of that sea, and he was alone on the land. And at the beginning of verse 48, it says, then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. I want to remind you now at this point that they are in a storm, but please note, it is a wind storm. The moon is out. The stars are out. It is the wind that is raging against them. And by the way, you know what happens to a body of water when the wind rages. And so they're being tossed and thrown around, and they're fighting the wind, trying to get to the other side. And they've gotten about halfway. So going to the other side, here they are. 12 guys get in the boat with 12 baskets, and they're on their way to the other side. And they don't completely understand the miracle of the loaves and fishes yet, just so you know. The scripture's even going to explain that to us. But they're straining. They're fighting. They're working hard. They're wet. They're cold. They're tired. And they're about halfway across the lake. And as the storm rages, Jesus is praying. And as Jesus is praying in the hills, there are foothills. They're like, if you think mountains, we live in, you know, the Continental Divide. When we think mountains, we think mountains. They're foothills. And there are foothills around the Sea of Galilee. And he's up in those foothills, and he can see out across the lake. And as he looks out, there are those guys fighting and struggling against the wind. And he sees them as they're attempting to cross that. Now, I want you to remember something right now. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever done what Jesus told you to do and found yourself fighting against the wind? Have you ever done that? Do you know what I mean by that? God tells you in the Word, you're doing what God's Word says, and all of a sudden, because you're doing what God's Word says, there is a push back against you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because we live in a world that is pushing against God. Our culture naturally pushes against God because they don't want God. They don't want righteousness. They don't want holiness. They don't want truth. They don't want that, and so our culture pushes against us. God tells us, you go, and you go in strength, you go in faith, you go in obedience. I have commanded you, go, and we go. But yet we find this resistance, this pushback that we feel over and over and over again as we seek God for our lives in his direction. And so they're in the same place. God commanded them to go out there, and there's resistance. And the truth of the matter is, here's the reality. Our culture is against those of us who believe in Jesus. Our culture is against those of us who believe in Jesus. We live by a different set of standards because we are citizens of heaven first. And you see it around you, don't you? You know, last week we talked about doing everything for the glory of God. So when you're driving down Sunnyside at 40 miles an hour, because that glorifies God, because that's the speed limit, and other people are honking at you and giving you the highway high sign, you know what I'm saying? Because you're seeking to glorify God and they're resisting. They're mad at you because you're doing what is right. You're living for righteousness. You're trying to do what is holy and right. And by the way, are we perfect in that? No. Anybody in this room do something stupid this week? Most of you didn't understand the question. Right? We've all done something in error this week, but we're doing our best to follow the commands of Jesus. And when we do that, there's always going to be some resistance as we do that. But unknown to the disciples as they're struggling, that Jesus saw them straining and rowing. He saw them in their difficulty and he cared for them. This brings us to the first two applications that I would like you to note and write down this morning. And by the way, when we looked at that passage, remember in verse 48 there it says, and he saw them. You can circle that in your Bible because that will help you be able to remember the outline. He saw them, and that's our first thing is this, is that Jesus sees us in our storm. Write it down. You don't want to forget. Jesus sees us in the storm. Church, I want you to respond with me, but can you say this? Can you say, Jesus sees me? I don't believe you believe that. Say, Jesus believes me. Ah, you weren't paying attention. Jesus sees me, doesn't he? Say, Jesus sees me. There you go. You got to understand that Jesus sees us. Jesus doesn't believe us. I think sometimes he looks like, I don't believe you're so stupid. But Jesus sees us, doesn't he? That's the first thing, is Jesus sees us. He sees you. He sees me. Here's the next thing I want you to write down is Jesus cares about you. He cares about me. Jesus cares for us in our storm. Jesus cares for us in our struggle. And so can you say this? Can you say, Jesus cares about me? Jesus cares about me. That's right. Jesus cares about me. He cares about you. He sees us. He cares about us. He does not leave us alone to struggle. He sees us. He cares about us. Whatever we're going through, his gaze is upon us. And I want you to note something, if you're taking notes, something that's very important about this passage is this, is that the disciples were not alone in the storm. There were other people in the boat. It wasn't one guy in a boat by himself. They were not alone. They were together. And they were doing together what God had commanded them to do. And a storm had come up. Jesus sees them. Jesus cares for them. But they're not alone. Say it. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. That's right. Do you believe that you're not alone? Because you're not. Because you're in a room, in a boat with a bunch of people, and you're not going through your storm alone. Everybody in this room can tell you they're good and they're fine. And just know this. They're a bunch of liars. They're not good. They're not all fine. There's people struggling against the wind, and there's people who are hurting and are going through difficult struggles in this room with you right now. You are not in your boat alone. You are not in your circumstance alone. We are the family, the body of Christ, and we are knit together by love and by the Spirit of God. We are not alone. But many of you right now might feel like you are alone. Have you ever been in this room and felt like you were alone? You know that feeling, right? I want to share something with you about the Scripture. The Scripture speaks truth to us in this way. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, 1 says this, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. If you are going through your storm and you're in the boat alone, that's on you. If I'm going through it alone, that's on me. Don't live the lie and struggle in your boat alone. You grab a brother, you grab a sister, say, would you get in my boat with me, please? And my boat's rough, but I need some help in my boat. Because my boat's filling up. And I feel like I'm going to go down. Did you guys know that water on the outside of the boat, that's cool. Water on the inside of the boat, not cool. How many of you understand that particular nautical truth? Right? Some of you seem unsure. We live in the world of self-bailers. Let me explain something. What you're going through in life, not a self-bailer. Sometimes you got to bail it yourself. Well, that was my first self-bailer. I had to bail it myself. But you understand that you get people in there with you, and they're helping you. You're not alone. And why do we do it all alone? Why will we not come forward and say, would you pray for me? Would you help me? I'm hurting. I'm struggling. Why do we live the lie? Why will we not come and realize that we're not in the boat alone? Jesus cares for us. Jesus sees us, and we are not in the boat alone. Verse 48, we continue. Says, now about the fourth watch of the night, he came by them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. Interesting, here we are. They are now struggling in the dark. And because Jesus saw them and he cares for them, he comes to them. He's walking to them on the sea. And it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, let's go back. Let's just run the story real quick so we remember the narrative. They came back off their mission trip. Jesus said, hey, awesome, let's go talk. Let's go to a deserted place to rest. They get in the boat to go to a deserted place. All the people ran over 10 miles to beat them there. They get there. There's all these people. He ministers to them. They're all hungry. It's getting late. Jesus says, you feed them. They find a sack lunch. Jesus does a miracle. They feed them all. And then Jesus says, take the leftovers, get in the boat, and go back to the other side. Did they get a chance to rest? No. It's now 3 a.m. in the morning. They are cold. They are wet. They are tired. And they are afraid. And when you are in that storm of life, and you have that feeling like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm afraid. I'm cold. I'm wet. I hurt. Whatever it is that you're going through in this life, when that happens, you have to remember the third thing right now that I want you to apply is this, is that Jesus comes to us in our storm. Remember what it says there? And Jesus came to them. You should circle it. Jesus sees them. Jesus cares for them. And Jesus comes to them. Jesus comes to us in our storm. Can you say, Jesus comes to me? Say it. Jesus comes to me. Jesus comes to me. He comes to you. He comes to us when we're going through the storm. But remember, they almost didn't see him. They wouldn't have seen him. He was about to pass by them. And why were they not going to see him? Because they weren't looking for him. Remember, they're confused. They didn't understand the loaves and fishes at this point. They do not see Jesus yet as the Son of God. They don't totally get it. After the resurrection, they're going to say, hey, are you now going to be an earthly king? He says, look, that's not for me to tell you. It's not. You don't need to know. And just you go to Jerusalem, wait for power. They still didn't even get it then. They were still confused. They're so confused, and they're not looking for Jesus to come. Church, how sad is it when we're not looking for Jesus when we're in the storm? We're so focused on the storm itself, on the difficulty itself, we're not looking for the coming of Jesus, which he will come to us. And what do we have to do for him to come to us? Just call out to him. But they don't see him. They don't see him coming as himself, and we often are focused on the wind and the waves in the same way, and so they're about to not recognize Jesus, because it says in verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. Okay, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're exhausted. You're wet, cold, and tired. And you grew up listening to ghost stories around the fire at home with your dad, the old salty fisherman. Peter and John, James, our fishermen grew up on the lake fishing. And so there was a cultural issue that if you were about to die in the lake, you would see ghosts coming. Now, how many of us in this culture, through media, TV, movies, or whatever, have seen the concept of somebody walking on water? Raise a hand. Right? It's normal for us. Somebody's walking on water? Oh, it must be Jesus, right? 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 We have that. These guys have never seen this before. Do you understand? This is fresh to them. Put yourself in the boat with these guys. You're in the boat. You're cold, wet, tired. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you see a fulfillment of a childhood fear coming at you walking on water. I'm surprised the boat didn't capsize from them all jumping to one side going, ah, right? As they all would pull away from that, and they see him, and they cry out because they see him. And they think it's a ghost. And they don't know what to do. And so Jesus, as he's walking up on them, they start to panic and start to scream and yell because they're not looking for him. They're looking at their situation, believing that death was coming. They'd come to that place of hopelessness. And verse 50 says, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately in their trouble, he talked to them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. For them, all at this point, it seemed lost. And many today in the world and many in the church are also in this place where they're looking at their circumstances. And they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for something. Can we get the boat steady? Can we just get to the shore? But they're not looking for Jesus from the midst of the storm. Church, Jesus is in the midst of your storm. Jesus is walking in the midst of your storm, my storm, right now. And he comes to us and he says to us, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Here's the fourth point of application I would like you to have and put into the word, into your notes this morning, is this, is that Jesus calls to us from the storm in our struggles, in our trials. Jesus calls to us. Can you say out loud, "Jesus calls to me. Jesus calls to me. Jesus calls to me." He calls to you. That's who Jesus is. And he calls to us from the midst of the storm. And he doesn't call to us from outside of it. He doesn't sit up on a hill and go, "Yep, good luck, boys." He comes right into the midst of our storm. Jesus comes into your waves, your wind, your hurt, your sorrow, your fear. Jesus comes into the midst and he calls us from the midst of the storm. And let it sink into your heart what he says. He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Hey, if Jesus is with you, what do you have to be afraid of? And shouldn't you have good cheer if Jesus is with you? The storm rages, but Jesus is there. He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." You know, it's like a New Testament version of what we had in the Old Testament when God said, "I am that I am." The ego in me that we find in the Old Testament and from the burning bush when Moses asks God, "Hey, who do I say sent?" And God says, "Say, I am that I am has sent you." He cries out from the wind and the waves. He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Can you hear him call to you right now? Can you hear Jesus say, "It is I," in the midst of your storm? And can you hear him say, "Have cheer"? And then also, can you hear this? "Do not be afraid." Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be starting in verse 28. Christians, I don't know why we fear so much. Why we let ourselves struggle and we try to do it all alone and we isolate ourselves, because Jesus comes to us walking on the waves of our struggles and he puts the swelling storm under his feet, because he is the God of miracles. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one who is over all of these things. Now in Matthew, we see a missing event from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, many people believe that John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. But many would also say that they believe that the information came directly from the Apostle Peter. And so there's this little story that's missing out of the Gospel of Mark, which kind of lets us see that. That's probably very, very true, because he leaves something out. And so let's go ahead and let's look at this. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 14. This is directly after Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you walking on the water." Okay, if it's you, you command me to come out. What does Jesus say? He says, "Come on." Jesus says, "Come." And Peter, when he'd come down out of the boat, so he'd gotten on the edge of the boat and gotten down in the wind and the waves. He got on the edge of the boat. When he put his foot on the water, it was solid. I want you to think about that for anybody in this room who's ever tried to walk on water. Yeah, who's tried to walk on water in this room before? We don't do that naturally, do we? We have a tendency to go down. And he gets out, and Peter, could you imagine that moment when he put his foot down and it was solid? It wasn't squishy. It wasn't a waterbed. For those of you who know what those are, I just realized I dated myself. But he puts his foot down and then his second foot, and it says that Peter, what does it say? And that Peter walked on the water to do what? To go to Jesus. And he's going to Jesus. He's walking on the water. But verse 30 tells us, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And when he was afraid, he began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Did you know that whatever you're going through right now, that God will save you if you cry out to him? For the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be, say it, saved. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If you're in this room right now and you're not saved, you know what you have to do to be saved? You call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Here's a great example. Peter sees the wind, sees the wave. He goes down. He says, Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? He saved him. He didn't say, take a lap or two first. He didn't throw him a dinghy or a lifesaver. What did he do? By the way, for those of you who don't know, a lifesaver is not a candy. It's actually a thing that's on a ship, a vessel, okay? It keeps us from sinking. It's the round thing with rope on it. Okay, sorry, I had some people looking at me like, why would he throw him candy? So Jesus reaches down, grabs him. Could you imagine the arms, the wet arms meeting? There they are. And he pulls him up out of the water. And then here is Jesus and Peter face to face, standing on the waves in the storm, wind howling, wind moving. And there they are, standing face to face. Imagine how personal this was for Peter, because it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I do not believe it was one of these. I do not believe it was a rebuke. I believe it was compassionate. Because he got out of the boat. Think about that for a minute. Peter just walked on water. We give Peter a bad time, but Peter walked on water. And did he get his eyes off of Jesus? Yeah. Anybody else do that in this room? Yeah, we do. And he got out and he walked on water. I believe that there was a moment where they're grasping each other, and I believe Jesus, just compassionate, forehead to forehead, asked that question and just says, oh, you have little faith. And then he asks, why'd you doubt? How many of you think Peter is, in, at this point, is actually probably more emotional than you might think? Because I would be if Jesus rescued me and he looked at me and said, why did you doubt? I would say, God, I don't know why I doubted. God, why would I doubt you? You're the God of all creation. Why would I doubt you? But yet we do. Well, verse 32 tells us that when they had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This moment where they didn't understand the loaves and the fish, and Jesus is out there with Peter, and they get it back in the boat, and they come, get in the boat, and everybody's like, whoa, their minds are blown, and they're overwhelmed, and they're marveling, but they begin to worship him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This personal moment for Peter becomes a moment of corporate worship for all of them as they're there. But this brings us to our fifth thing I'd like you to note, and I want you to understand that when we're in the storm, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we don't, we're going to go down. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Because when we keep our eyes on Jesus, please understand this, Jesus holds us up. Can you say, Jesus holds me up? Jesus holds me up. Jesus holds me up. I'm excited for the fact that Jesus holds me up. And I'm going to tell you right now, many of us would be okay in the storm if we were in the embrace of Jesus, wouldn't we? I'm good with the storm as long as Jesus has me. I just don't want to be in the storm without Jesus. And so I'm okay with the storm as long as I have Jesus. And Jesus, help our unbelief. Help us when we doubt. How many times have we heard, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When one of my boys was younger, all my boys shared toys growing up, and they had this car. They had this little red Little Tykes car with the doors that opened up and the little horn went, yellow top. You guys remember those, right? And they had one of these, and we had a driveway that they could play in, and our driveway had a little bit of a slant, not much. It kind of went up to the street, and one of my boys was in that, And he was going up to the street, and he turned around, he was coming down. He'd go up to the street, turn around, and kind of slide down. So he was like the Flintstones going up, you know, with his feet, and they put his feet up, and he'd go down. And one time he went up, he was coming down, and a dog had that was being walked by some people without a leash saw him. And it caught the dog's eye, and as he went down, the dog ran into the driveway, and as he turned around, the dog started trying to get into the car with him and started pawing at him and barking and snarling and getting up in his face. And I just have to be honest with you, as a father, I ran and I removed the dog as quickly as I could. And the owners were right behind that because they figured, I think they realized with the look on my face, the dog was not long for this world if it continued. And I grabbed my son and I pulled him out of that car and I picked him up and I held him and I said, son, you don't have to be afraid. Daddy's here. Son, you don't have to, it's okay, it's okay. It's all right, Daddy's here, Daddy's here. Church, do you understand that Daddy's here? Whatever's snarling at you, whatever's barking at you, whatever's biting at you, Jesus is here. Daddy's here, and he will pick you up, and he will say, do not be afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. Here I am. Daddy's here, and maybe you need Daddy to be here. Maybe you need your Heavenly Father to be here, to pull you up out what you are sinking into. And maybe you haven't told anybody and you are living a lie, and maybe it's time you have to get out of the boat and you need to walk on some water with Jesus. And you need to walk to him because he is with you. Because he is here to heal and to help and to give us hope. Verse 51 says this, going back into Mark. It says, they went up into the boat to them and the wind ceased. So immediately the wind ceased. And they were all greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. And they marveled. We know that they worshiped him, but they marveled. Why? For they had not understood the loaves because their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hardened. They had hard hearts. They didn't understand what was going on. They're seeing miracle after miracle, and they're not understanding it. And maybe our heart is hard today, and we're just not seeing Jesus. And all we see is the hurt. All we see are the wind and the waves. Now when they'd crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they'd come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry out on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. This is the area where he went and he healed the men of the tombs. And remember the man that wanted to go with Jesus? He says, no, you can't go with me. Go back and tell your family and your friends how gracious and wonderful and compassionate God has been to you. And so when Jesus comes back, the area that rejected him because of the testimony of one man, they're bringing everybody to Jesus. The storm is over, and now they're in a place that people are bringing more people to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what happens when your storms are over. When your storms are over, you need to get up and go get people and bring them to Jesus. Don't sit around. The storm's over. Go bring people to Jesus. And they bring them there, and it says in verse 56, wherever he entered, into village, city, or country, they laid sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Here we are after the storm, and many are being touched and healed by Jesus. And they're on that journey with him. And this describes the incredible healing ministry of Jesus. As many as touched him, or he touched them, they were made well. And it's not normal, by the way. Nothing about this is normal. Do you understand? We've been looking at miracle after miracle. Nothing's normal. Do you understand that a miracle is simply the God who created natural law bending or breaking or altering that natural law for his purposes and his glory? I mean, that's a miracle. But normally, 5,000 people are not, over 5,000 people are not fed with a sack lunch. Normally, men don't walk on water. Normally, storms don't cease on a dime. Normally, boats don't instantly go from the middle of a lake to the side of a lake, which we learn from another gospel. And normally, the sick are not instantly healed, but nothing is normal when Jesus is involved. Nothing is normal when Jesus is involved. because God does miracles. I want to tell you right now about the greatest miracle in my life. My sins are forgiven. That's the greatest miracle in my life. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ took all of my sin. He who knew no sin became sin on my behalf, that he suffered the judgment of a holy God, and now I'm free to enter heaven without going through the judgment of a righteous God. That is a miracle. And the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord receives that miracle, because it says they are saved. Today you can be saved. Today you can come out of the storm into the arms of Jesus. But there's another thing I want you to apply. I guess it would be number 6 at this point. Jesus is your healer. Jesus is our healer. Can you say, Jesus heals me? Jesus heals me. Jesus heals me. He heals us of our sin and our pain, our sorrow. By the way, one day our body's going to fail. You guys all get that, right? But you realize when our body fails, guess what? We get the real healing. When our body fails, we will be with Jesus forever, because the scripture says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But I know that Jesus is my healer. Jesus is the one who loves me. But there's one more thing I want to share with you as we close up, is this. Get into the boat with other people. Get in the boat and learn who's in your boat. Realize there's people in your boat with you. What do I mean by that? Your circle of influence is your boat, okay? So, we have a family boat. Ours is the SS We're Going Down. Okay, so, but we have a family boat. And I'm going to share with you kind of the joke behind that. Is the idea is that I've shared to my boys, look, guys, I've got a boat, okay? And you're in the boat with me. Stop putting water in my boat. When they do something dumb or stupid and like things that I'd have to deal with, and I go, guys, you're putting water in the boat. Water out of the boat, not in the boat. Water out of the boat. You are my family. We are all bailing the boat together. It's always frustrating when you have 4 people putting water out of the boat and one going, putting it in. So stop. What are you, fishing on the surface? Stop it. Put it away, right? And so we have our boats, right? We have, my wife and I have our family boat, okay? And we have not relegated any of the children to a dinghy yet. They're still in the boat. It's okay. And that we're all in it together. But you understand, guys, that we have a bigger family boat, like our extended family. And are there some people in your extended family boat that don't know Jesus? But they're going through a storm and they're freaking out, but they're in your boat. Maybe you need to introduce them to Jesus. You say, look, Jesus will help you with this storm. How many of you have a school boat? You know what I'm talking about? You go to school, you're surrounded by people that definitely don't know Jesus. And there are people struggling, and you're there with them, and you know what? You're there to minister to them. Get in the boat with each other. How many of you understand that we're in a boat together? We're not alone. We're in this together. And so we pray for one another. We encourage one another. I hate it when we live a lie. I hate it when we live a lie, when we won't come and say, hey, I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? I'm hurting. Would you pray for me? Man, I got to be honest with you. I had a lousy part of my week this week. I'm going to share with you something. I'm just going to be transparent with you at the moment. The scripture says that an overseer is not to be a striker. Do you know what that means? It means the pastor can't knock people's teeth out. If it wasn't for that command, somebody else would probably be teaching this morning. It was hard, hurt. You know what the worst part was? It became internal. My storm went right to my heart and it wrecked me. And I had to remember, I'm not alone. First thing I want to do is I want to handle it by myself. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to handle it. Next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. So I've got my brothers around me, man. I'm talking to my family boat, talking to my wife, talking to my boys, you know, and then I got my brothers around me, my brothers in the Lord, and they're praying over me and they're praying for me. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But my heart was wrecked. I'm like, Jesus, save me. You know what happened when I called out and said, Jesus, save me? He saved me. You know what I heard? Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? Because that's what I was doing. I let it wreck me. I was living in doubt. And Jesus saved me and said the same thing to me, he said to Peter. That's why I think I relate so well to Peter. Let's get in the boat and let's bring people Jesus. And if you're in a boat and your storm is raging, you need to look for Jesus. Don't miss him because he's coming. Why? Because of the things that we can apply to others as well as we apply to ourselves. Jesus sees us. Jesus cares for us. Jesus comes to us and Jesus calls to us from the midst of the storm and he calls us to come out to him and Jesus holds us above the wind and above the waves and Jesus is the one that heals us. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word. And this morning, God, I ask that we would be men and women who are truly willing to have the faith to step out of the boat and step onto those waves and into the waiting arms of our Savior. Father God, we all are going through struggles of different types. Some of us might be here right now and might be in a good place. We might be here thinking, man, everything's good, everything's great. Man, I'm on solid ground. No wind, no waves in my life. But Lord, there might be some right now that they're looking at those winds, they're looking at those waves, and they're actually going down, and they figure it's over. Lord, I pray you'd rescue them. But Lord, I know that that rescue comes when you call, and they call. You call them, and then they call out upon you, and as they call out upon you, you would reach down and you'd rescue them today. Father, I pray for those that don't have a relationship with you, those that are not born again, those that have not believed on you, Jesus, and the work of the cross. I pray that those that are here today that need to call out, need to be saved, that they would be saved. They would call out upon the Lord, and they would realize the storms of this life are not worth trying to fight alone, and they would come to you, and they would be born again. They would be saved from their sin. If you're in that place right now, and you don't know if you're going to heaven or not, I'm just going to let you know, you probably aren't. Just the truth, because if you are, you know it. And if you're not sure, you don't. Because there are only two kinds of people in the world, the saved and the unsaved. And if you want to know you're going to heaven, it's really simple. The scripture says that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for you. What is sin? If you've ever told a lie, you're a sinner. That's it. The scripture says if you break one of God's laws, you break them all. Well, that's breaking all 10 commandments. And the cost for breaking the Ten Commandments of God is eternal punishment. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ took all of that punishment for you. And then what do you have to do to be saved? Nothing more than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him. If you want to call upon Jesus, you can say a very simple prayer. And you can be saved. Lord Jesus, I recognize my sin, and probably more than I could even express, and that Jesus, you took all the sin of my life and you died on the cross for me. And I believe on you, and I know that you are the resurrected King of Kings. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me follow you all the days of my life in the best I know how, starting right now, and for the rest of my life, that I might be with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to come up and talk to somebody this morning. We have guys and gals up here to pray with you. I want you to come and share with them. I want you to tell them. And you know, I want you to fill out a connect card. Do something. Let us know so we can follow up with you and pray with you. But as we continue, and we're about to close up this morning, if some of us are going through storms, and some of us have been living a lie saying everything's okay, and it's not okay, I'm going to ask right now, if you're going through a storm, the difficulty in your life, and you need some Jesus in your life, and you need a rescue, I'm going to ask you to boldly just stand up right where you are right now, and don't be ashamed, because Jesus knows. Stand up. We want to pray for you. If you're going through a storm, stand up. Don't live that lie anymore. Don't try and cover it up anymore. Don't try and hide it, because you're not alone in the boat. We're going through it too. It's just right now is your opportunity for us to minister to you. Because guess what? Next time, you're going to minister to us. Because Jesus is here and he's going to rescue you. Something happened when Jesus got in the boat. The wind ceased. You could say they had peace. But they all marveled. What did they marvel at? They marveled at the peace. They marveled at Jesus. We could say that they experienced a peace that passed all understanding. And it's the same thing we experience when we come to Jesus in the storm. We cry out to him. Is there anyone else that wants to stand up before we pray? If you've got a storm you've been going through, just stand up. Don't be afraid. People around you aren't going to judge you. And if they judge you, that's their own storm. God will get them. But if you're still sitting down and you're all good, would you do me a favor? If there's somebody standing around you, would you put a hand on their shoulder? We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray over them, ministry of the body of Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you for those who stood up, say, I'm going through a storm. And Lord, I'm thankful that they don't have to go through that storm alone. That right now they can know that you are with them, that you are greater than the storm. In fact, you are the God who can calm the storm in an instant because you're the God of miracles. You can change any circumstance. You can change any situation because you are God and you are big and you are able and we have faith and we trust in you that you can do that. And Lord, as we lay hands on our brothers and sisters that are going through the storm, as some may be standing up for and being, they've just been born again, they've just received you, that their lives would be forever changed because now they have come into the everlasting embrace of the King of Kings, the Savior of their souls, Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are going through the storm, I pray that we would have that peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. God's kids say, amen.
Water Springs Church. Check us out at watersprings.net. And if this video blessed you, please click the subscribe button. God bless.